Plundergrounds, welcome back to a brand new show. Ray's gonna take you where you didn't know you wanted to go. Fantasy and dungeon delve, science fiction, watch yourselves.
Hi everybody, I'm back. Yeah, I took a little break there. I didn't really intend to. I've been off the mic for probably 3 months now, or close to it. I guess I didn't know that I needed a break. It kind of happened organically. During that time, it's not like I wasn't productive or creative. I was actually very creative. I just got swallowed up in other projects and had less time for podcasting. But the great thing about that is it's given me lots of things to talk about over the next couple months. And no spoilers, because I will talk about those over the next couple months. I'm coming back to you today primarily because I made a pact with Judd Carlman of the Daydreaming About Dragons podcast. He said, I made the point that I needed to get back to podcasting, and he said, I'll put one out by Monday if you do. And I said, done. All right. So I'm doing my end of the bargain here. I'm assuming he will do his end of the bargain because he's an honorable person. And if he doesn't, I'll just make endless fun of him. So yeah, you should listen to Daydreaming About Dragons. Great podcast. I am working with a challenging, maybe crazy, perhaps stupid, new format. Basically, what I've done is I listed out 10 things that I want to talk about without any kind of outline or anything, maybe just a few sentences on each. And then I've had some of my friends give me topics. And so it just so happened that they put in about 10 and I had put in about 10. I didn't really think of this ahead of time, but once I got to that point, I thought, okay, this is a D20 roll, right? So I could roll a D20, and if it comes up 1 to 10, it's going to be something that I've thought about before. And if it comes up 11 through 20, I get to talk about something impromptu that they've brought up for me. Now, I read most of their prompts, but, you know, haven't spent a lot of time. Well, that's not important, right? you don't really want to know that I don't plan these things. That just makes you less likely to listen, right? But I enjoy the challenge of trying to talk about things off the top of my head. And I think sometimes I'm the type of person that doesn't really know what I think until I hear myself say it. And often there's stuff buried in there that kind of surprises me. And I really enjoy doing it that way. So that's the way I'm going to do it. And here comes the first die roll. Oh, almost rolled it off the table. All right, a 12. That means we're into the topics that my friends have put together. So let's see. Let's scroll down here. 12. Your guide to player skill. How to develop a stronger presentation at the table for yourself and other players. If you were tasked with training players for greatness, what steps would you take? I know this is potentially controversial. Wow. Wow. What a one to start on, huh? Holy cow. My guide to training players for greatness. Okay. I'm going to do this, but, I may follow up on this at some point. There may be other things I think of, but I'm going to try to stay fairly broad because I think that like specific things are not applicable to everyone. For example, some players are better at the rules side of things, about sort of game knowledge and real expertise with the system, right? And other players are good at the kind of storytelling and introducing fiction and playing really cool, wild character concepts, or just surprising others at the table with their play. And, you know, some people are good at both, but you have to know which type of person you are. So if I said, like, you know, well, if you're a spellcaster, read your spell list, because like, if you don't know what your spells do, you're putting more work on the GM and you're not really playing your class. Like, you should know more about your character, as best you can, to be able to play it effectively at the table. And maybe that's your weakness, but maybe you've studied that endlessly and all you can think about is optimal combinations. And I would say, get your head out of the books and, you know, pay attention to the fiction, right? Just live in the moment. And so those are opposite sort of advices. Is that a plural? Bits of advice for different people. So I'm going to kind of like step back from that and say, what are some really broad things? And so this maybe is my first step, right? This is the thing, things that you can apply that are going to make you better regardless of where your shortcomings are. And I want to start by talking about an episode I heard the other day on Down in a Heap, which is a podcast by Rob C. And I think it was titled, I Am a Crap Player. And it was Rob's kind of confessional about the things that he thinks he's bad at as a player. And I think these kind of self-inventories are great for developing awareness of what you think your shortcomings are. You may be right. You may be right and you may be wrong. This is all kind of perception, right? So what you perceive are your shortcomings may not be what the rest of the group think is your shortcoming. But it's still born out of your desire to be a better player. And if you're unhappy with it, then you should work to make it better, regardless of whether other people at the table are unhappy with it. In fact, I would sort of tell you to get that out of your head, to stop worrying about other people, you know, as expectations of your character, and start worrying about your expectations for your play as a player and your character as a character. So let me think about this. So how I would do it is, first things, I would list out all the things that I do at the table, right? Even down to like how I roll dice and stuff. Maybe just make some observations about all the things you do at the table, good or bad. Don't try to assign any value statements to them at the beginning. Just make a list of all the things you do at the table, and try to make it as exhaustive as possible, right? Maybe sit with that list for a while, carry it in your pocket for a day or a half a day, and just keep writing things down. You know, whenever you get a spare moment, think about it again and decide whether you've already got that on the list or not and add it to it. Once you get that list together, and then you could go down and kind of like put pluses and minuses next to things and kind of assess like your strengths and weaknesses and areas that you might need to work on. You know, there's what's the old public service announcement? Knowing is half the battle, right?
If you're completely honest with yourself on that inventory, you're going to put things that aren't even all that related to the game. For instance, the fact that you maybe pull your phone out of your pocket and look at it sometimes when other people are taking their turn, which is an obvious negative. And being aware of that is really key, because the next time you're at the table and you pull your phone out, you'll remember, oh yeah, this was one of the things on my list that I said I shouldn't do or need to work on. And so maybe I'll just put that phone back in my pocket. I don't really need to check anything right now. It's just, I'm killing time. So find some other way to use your time, right? And that kind of circles back into other things that you can do. Now you're ready to use your time for good instead of evil. So I used to teach writing, composition at the university. And I taught both honor students and basic writers, which was really fun to kind of work with both ends of the spectrum as two different mindsets in a way. They each had their challenges. And one of the things that I would do as kind of an icebreaker on the first day, especially with the basic writers, I would, after we'd introduce ourselves and spend a few minutes, I'd always try to learn their names on the first day, which really made things smoother going forward. But I would have them create, we'd do a top 10 list, right? This was back in the day when David Letterman's top 10 lists were kind of a thing. And I would say, you know, let's do top 10 things that you remember from high school that really annoyed your teachers. And so I'd have them list these things out. And this is all very manipulative in a way. But, you know, we'd come up with the typical things, like when you'd walk into class and say, are we doing anything today? Which, you know, always gets a teacher's goat, right? Like, it's really annoying to have somebody ask you that question. Of course you're doing something today. Or did we do anything yesterday? Or students that show up late, or even worse, 10 minutes before the end of class, start packing up their bag, right? Those are the kind of things that annoy teachers. And so after we get this list together, I would just look at them and kind of look back at the list and say, you know, we all know now. These things, we know all of these things are annoying, so we're not going to do them, right? And if you fall back on old habits and do one of these during our next 16 weeks together during the semester, I might just point at this board, even though the list probably won't be here anymore, and say like, I think that was on the list, right? And you can reposition what you're saying to me, and maybe I should have made a list of top 10 things that teachers do that annoy students that really would have been smart to make it a little more even-handed. But yeah, it's being aware of things is really important. So let's move on.
So the next thing I might say is to develop an awareness of the table. And this leads back into my comment about, you know, phone time, putting your phone away. So here's why you pull out your phone, right? Somebody else is taking a turn, and especially in a system like D&D 5th edition, you don't have a lot to do, right? But that's only, you don't have a lot to do if you're only thinking about yourself. If you realize that you're bored, find something to do, but find something to do that's constructive. Pay attention to the other person's turn, right? Help them with, you know, have the rules handy. Look something up for them. If you see it's headed for a spell and maybe they aren't really strong on memorizing their spells, look up that spell. Or if they have a question about how crits work or something, like, be ready to support them. If they're headed somewhere in the fiction, you know, be ready to support that bit of the fiction on your turn. Or even if they ask, you know, the table or look around the table for advice, to help them right there. Don't jump in and try to direct their character. Make sure that if you're trying to help them, you help them in the way that they need to be helped, not that you help them to have fun in the way you have fun, or help them to run their character the way you would run their character. That's not helpful. Help them run the character the way they want to run the character. Support the ideas that they have for their character. And just in general, you know, be on the lookout for other people who aren't having fun and try to figure out why they're not having fun. You could certainly just ask them after the game. You didn't look like you were having a lot of fun. What's going on? But the truth is, I've found that most people either aren't self-aware enough to kind of be correct in why they're not having fun, or if they know why they're not having fun, maybe they won't tell you. And it's because it may, you know, be about somebody else at the table, may even be about you. So it's better to kind of try to figure it out yourself first, at least to get a sense of what's going on. Maybe notice when they disengage, or just the kind of things they struggle with, and be there to support them, right? That's a great thing you can do when it's not your turn. You know, I think there's a selfish reason for doing this too. Sorry, I'm stumbling there, but you know, this sounds like a very selfless thing, and it is. It's good to like be there for other people and to think about other people's fun. But you also have to realize that if everybody at the table is having more fun, you're going to have more fun, right? If they're more into their characters, you're going to get more into your character. If everybody's checking out on each other's turn, then you're going to feel it, right? Especially in online games, you can tell when people are doing something else until it's their turn. And I've been guilty of this too. Am guilty of this. I play on Friday nights and sometimes I do this, right? So I'm putting this on my list of things that I need to be more aware of, that not to check out during other players' turns, especially when you've got all the tantalizing opportunities on your computer, you know, right there, and nobody else can see you, and you can mute your microphone so nobody can hear you typing or whatever while you're looking up dumb things on Google or whatnot. So yeah, just be careful, right? Be aware of the table. Maintain an awareness of the table, and that takes paying attention, right? So the third thing is we've hit. First one is do a self inventory, you know, maintain some self awareness. The second one is maintain some table awareness, or work on table awareness. The third thing is just put in the time. You can't improve without putting your work into practice, right? Knowing what you need to work on is pointless if you never actually do the work. And if it's the kind of the work, if it is the kind of work that you can do away from the table, like actually learning your spells, or your combat tricks or whatever, you know, it's meaningless until you bring that knowledge to the table and work it out. Cause it may not actually, theory and practice are two different things. What makes sense away from the table sometimes flees away from you at the table. You're like, okay, I thought I understood that, but now I don't. It's clear that I don't. Or I thought this would be a great way to use this, but turns out it actually doesn't work the way I thought it was going to, because I forgot something. And so you've got to play. You've got to play often. That 10,000 hours thing is kind of a pop psychology saying. I think it comes from Malcolm Gladwell, but I'm not sure. There is, however, a basic truth under it, which is simply putting in the hours will make you stronger at whatever you're doing with that time. Now, that's a double-edged sword, as you know, putting in the time and getting stronger at things means you might also reinforce negative habits, which is why self-awareness is a big part of it too. But yeah, the 10,000 hours thing is that number is just kind of made up. It's not very scientific, but it is an underlying truth that you can't really get better without putting in the time practicing the thing you're trying to get better at. So yeah, that's my three bits of advice for players to improve their play. Again, it's self-inventory, self-awareness is the first one. Developing and maintaining table awareness is the second one. And the third one is putting in the time, you know, playing. Just playing. That's it. So I hope that, I don't know if that's helpful or not. I feel like these things are all kind of obvious, but maybe they're not. Even though they're obvious, they're not necessarily things that we do. I've admitted that, for instance, I have some issues with checking out during other players' turns in 5e games. So that's something I need to work on. And I'm sure I have many other things. If I were doing this as a GM, you know, taking a self-inventory, I'm not consistent with voices. Like, I can do voices. I'm a little hesitant to do them sometimes. I don't know why. But then, like, maintaining consistency, I'll forget what somebody's voice sounded like from one, you know, session to the next. So voices are kind of hard for me, and I need to work at them. And I've not yet found a good system for myself in terms of making notes about which character has, you know, how I did their voice, right? If I'm not thinking about it, I do a better job than when I'm thinking about it, which is ironic, talking about that self-awareness. Sometimes I can just flow right into it, and it's like my lizard brain can trick me into knowing that, when my forebrain just, if I stop and think about it, I lose it. Well, now we're on to a whole new topic. So I hope that was a decent covering. I don't know who asked this question. I do know that the three people I asked to contribute were JJ Lanza and Bill Angus and Logan Howard from my brother from another Monster Mother, from Monster Brothers. And he also does the Swordbreaker podcast, which is back, which is awesome. And I think it might've been Logan's question. I think it might've been Logan's. So thank you, Logan, for that question. Thank you for putting me on the spot with something that difficult. That was awesome. I hope you all are safe and well and happy, and it's cool to be back on the mic. You know, feel free to call in. I believe there'll be a link to call in from the show notes. You can also go to, I don't know where you could probably go to my, I'll have a link probably also on my blog, which supports this show, which is, man, it's been so long since I've done this. I think it's just plundergrounds.com. And thanks to Logan Howard for that awesome opening theme song, as always. Until next time, look out for those rest monsters.